Ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Choices and poor choices. Fellowship is very important. In fact, fellowship could actually begin the meditation we talked about last night. You know, and for example, there are some scriptures in the Word of God, some verses that could be very concerning to some Christians. So concerning that they might think maybe there is more to it. The issue with the Word of God is that when it's plain, it's plain. You really have to deceive yourself to argue with it. Praise the Lord. Right? Jesus said he'll talk plainly to you, talking to his disciples when the Spirit of God comes. So when you see it like that, there's nothing you can do. Let me show you some of those scriptures. Go to Romans 6, verse 11. He says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, reckon ye also yourself. That means accept it, that you are dead to sin. Are you in this place? You know, if a dead man was in this room and someone shouted, fire, he wouldn't get up. That's proof that he's dead. If he got up and ran, he was lying. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If a dead man was in this room and you brought $1 million and placed it on him, he wouldn't get up. Even though he was poor before he died. He wouldn't say, money, I can wake up now. No. That is proof that he's dead. You see, a dead man doesn't have reaction to things. So the man who didn't get up when they shouted fire was dead to fire. Now he says, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Yes. Meaning that if sin shows up, you're moved. Yes. Is that possible? Yes. Yeah. So the first he says is, reckon ye, I like it. He didn't say, work hard to be dead to sin. Is that what he said? No. He didn't say, pray hard to be dead to sin. Is that what he said? No. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please, can you give me my scriptures? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He didn't say fast to be dead to sin. No. He says just accept it. Are you seeing it? Yes, the word is counted to be so. It's like you're writing the things that you bought in your house. And then while you're making a list, your sister says, oh, you know what? You also bought Milo. You say, oh, okay, Milo. You don't say when. Give me the receipt. I never tasted Milo. Can I taste the Milo? No, you just write it down. As correct, accurate. That's what he's saying here. He says, count it to be so, you are dead to sin. I'm dead to sin. You have to remain where God is. To live the kind of life God wants you to live, you have to be where he is. Are you in this place? You don't argue with him. PK says, some says, can two walk together except they agree? Almost 3 verse 3. You have to agree with God. When he says agree, it means there is tendency for disagreement. You might be seeing things differently, but you agree. You're the one to agree with God. God doesn't agree with you. Because imagine one day you said, you know what, I'm finished. And God says, yes. So you definitely don't want him to agree with you. You want to agree with him. So if he tells you, consider yourself dead to sin, it's true. Start with that. But you see, I said this verse can be concerning for some Christians who are still struggling with sin. So they might say there's something else. There's something else in this day. Praise the Lord. But he's right there. He says you are dead. He didn't say consider yourself fighting with sin. Are you seeing that? He says you are dead. Meaning that if sin came and did you like this, you're not getting up. You're not moved. Is it possible to live that life that someone comes with temptation and lust and you're unmoved by it? Wow. Wow. Such a picture. So says, but you know, sin can be abstract. Okay. We are dead to sin, but you have the flesh. The flesh is very terrible. Go to Galatians 5, verse 24. Galatians 5, verse 24. He says, and they that are Christ, I am Christ. No, I don't mean like I am Jesus Christ. It means I belong to Christ. All right? So it says, they that belong to Christ. He's going to tell us about ourselves. All right? It says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. There are people that are still praying for God to kill their flesh. And that is so against what he said. You don't argue with God. Do you understand? You don't. All right. God tells Solomon, wisdom is yours. Solomon didn't say, if it's true, let me know. Let me just feel this right now. Is that what he said? No. He woke up from sleep and started acting like it. Now he's making wise judgments. They brought two women, came, have one son. Said one, kill the other one. The other one, kill the other one. He didn't say, and you came to me. Do I look like a mother? How am I supposed to know? Is that what he said? He knew wisdom was working in him. He accepted it and walked accordingly. Man started talking. Why didn't he doubt that all these things I'm saying, they might be wrong? No. He accepted what God said and started walking accordingly. So he says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Full stop. Listen, of course, not full stop, but I mean, he's saying that you're not fighting with the flesh. You know what crucifixion means? Dead. Our Lord was crucified for us. Right? He says, crucify the flesh. Okay, so it says just the flesh. No, he says with the affections. So every affection that might be in your flesh has been crucified. Yes. I love it. He didn't say they that are Christ are crucifying the flesh. No, he says you have crucified the flesh. Because when he died, you died with him. Yes. Are you seeing that? He says, with the affections and lusts. This is the reality. Except you are not Christ, then we can start from that, get born again. But if you belong to Christ, this is your reality. He says, you have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. But like I said, this is one of the verses that could be, you could be here listening to me right now and say, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Am I really born again? Yeah, you are. But how come the flesh is still showing me wing? Well, who did no sin? That's where he starts. Didn't talk about prayer. Now, you know, of course, you know we like to pray in this place. But didn't talk about prayer. First step, he says, follow. He did no sin. Is it possible? Someone says, everybody, they sin. Forget that thing. Nobody holy pass. I am a holy nation. Let me tell you something. What you believe is so important. If you limit yourself, don't be surprised when you're walking in that limitation. Are you seeing it? He said, Jesus left an example. He did no sin. That's the example he set for us. So we would do no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. He was not deceitful. He was not talking out of his two sides of his mouth. He was not trying to manipulate people. Just sincere righteousness. And he says, that's the steps he expects us to follow. And while you think about it, you realize that, you know, the apostles never really talked about themselves struggling with sin. Did you notice? They talked about persecution. They faced it left and right. But you never saw them wailing that, oh, this sin has overcome. It was not in their consciousness. So these three verses, there are other ones, like I mentioned, there's one that says, he that is born of God does not sin. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That one is very painful to some people. Because I know why. You know why it might offend you or be concerning to you if you're a Christian? Because you are honest. Right? Probably you believe there's something you're not doing right and this is convicting you. You are better than the person that is doing the wrong thing and say, it's true. It's true. Praise the Lord. Right? Because there are people like that. They do the wrong thing and they are removed. They just live life normally, like nothing is going on. Do you remember David? After he slept with Bathsheba and killed Uriah, man was living in life like he did nothing, even married the woman. Do you understand? No conviction. Living large, like the king. Someone came and told him a parable, Prophet Nathan, and he was still passing judgment. It was Nathan says, no, this is about you. So there are people like that. They are doing the wrong things. But it's just a mess. Of course not you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But these three verses and some others could be quite concerning because you see the word of God telling you, you're not supposed to sin. You have all the excuse people have, like it's the flesh. It's the flesh that deceived me. It says you have crucified it. How can you, where is the flesh when you've crucified the flesh? Are you in this place? It's like maybe your uncle passed away and someone said, why did you slap your sister? He said, my uncle told me. Say something wrong with you? He's gone. He's dead. So he says the flesh is dead. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So there are people who have issues with this thing. And you know, they spend their time always looking for preachers to tell them, no matter how much you sin, you're going to heaven. You see, because if you ask for forgiveness, praise the Lord. All right, so there's this thought on forever, God will not abandon you. It's true. But there's a better life. There's a higher one. You know, Jesus actually did not sin. It's not a situation of he sinned and God forgave him. No. If he had ever sinned, he would have not been a good sacrifice for you, a good ransom, because then he'll be paying for his own sin. Imagine you're in the court, not you, someone else, all right? And then the judge is about to sentence you. He has already sentenced you 30 years in prison for theft. What did you steal? A car. What car? You know, Toyota Corolla, all right? So 30 years in prison. And while you're about to go, not you, someone else. Someone else comes, runs with full speed and says, no, arrest me instead. Why? Because I love her so much. Arrest me instead. All right, so he just said, all right, let's arrest you, but let's look at your records. And the person that is shouting, arrest me, stole two cars. Would that be a good replacement? They were arresting for himself. So Jesus didn't sin. Else, on that cross, he'll be paying his own sin. So he said he did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. He lived that life. He showed you what is possible with eternal life. And he's saying that is the life you now have. Are you in this place? So the highest way of expressing that life is living a life without sin. Because it is possible. You have to accept it is possible. So it will be possible in your life. It will be real. If you argue with it and say, no, everybody must sin, then don't be surprised. If you're always faltering, praise the Lord. So, what is the disconnect then between these verses and the experiences of some Christians? Fellowship. What you fellowship with goes a long way in determining the kind of life you would live. I told you about that little baby yesterday. Little baby cannot walk, still a baby, but he's still a human being. And if he spends time with fellow people and seeing what the legs is used for, very soon he'll start walking. Have you ever seen a determined baby that is trying to walk? He has finally stood and is walking and then he falls. Would that fall stop him? Are you in this place? Would he stop because he fell? Then that's not a serious baby. The serious babies that we know, they will stand. In fact, they even try to run. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because the people they are surrounded with are walking. Do you understand? If the baby was surrounded with trees only, chances are that baby would never walk. It would just wonder why it's not green. So your fellowship goes a long way in determining the kind of life you would live. It goes a long way in determining you're living the life of righteousness. And if you want to shine as light, what light would you shine? It has to be righteousness. It has to be the word of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So fellowship is so important. So the question now becomes, how do I know I am fellowshipping with something? Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
If I'm in a room with someone and we are not talking, we are just sitting there fellowshipping with that person, pay attention to me. Don't be distracted. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
If I just enter a room with PN and I'm just sitting down, and he's sitting down, does that mean we are fellowshipping? How do I know if I'm fellowshipping with something or someone? Or is it about the number of years I spend with that person? After 3 years, can I say, okay, now I am fellowshipping? Now, remember something. You must accept God's definitions. Are you in this place? You don't use your own mind. Like someone now can hear fellowship and use the mind. Say, I know, I think fellowship is when we sing. No, leave that. Abandon your thoughts. Find out what God thinks fellowship is so he can walk in righteousness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So he alone can tell us whether we are fellowshipping with something or not. Are you in this place? He can tell us the hallmarks of fellowship. I said, who you fellowship with Your fellowship will go a long way in determining whether you walk in righteousness. If that is true, then how do I know I'm fellowship with this person? Is it in the word? Yes, it is. Go to 1 John 1. First John 1, verse 3. How do I know I'm fellowshipping? Are you in this place? What is fellowship? Is it, must we hug for me to know I'm fellowshipping? Do you understand? How do I know? All right, verse 3. Look at this. It says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. But he tells us something. In his fellowship with the Father and the Son, what is he doing? Seeing and hearing. And says, that's what, so you can also see and hear and fellowship too. So what is fellowship? Anything you see and hear from, you are fellowshipping with. Are you seeing it? That means that you don't even have to be in the same room with the person to fellowship with them. As long as you're seeing and hearing from them, you are fellowshipping with that thing. That's what it means. So you can be scrolling through your phone on social media and you're listening. Think about it. Think about the funniness of it, right? You can have someone who is listening to something, watching a video the person doesn't even agree with or likes. Say, look at the nonsense they're doing now. What is this one saying? Let me hear. Can you imagine what he's saying? Look. You're fellowshipping with that thing. Are you in this place? You're fellowshipping with that thing. Whether you like what they're saying or not is inconsequential. What is happening is fellowship. The person may not be in your room, but you are seeing and you are hearing, and that is all that is required for fellowship. You are seeing and you're hearing. So if your fellowship goes a long way in determining the kind of life you would live, it means what you see and hear goes a long way in determining the kind of life you would live. Now, I've been saying your fellowship determines what kind of life you live. Where is this in the Word of God? 1 John 1, verse 6. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What does that mean? It means if we are truly having fellowship with him, we will not walk in darkness and we will do the truth. Are you seeing it?
Yes,
only those in front are paying attention to me. Are you guys listening to me?
Yes,
it says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What does that mean? It means that if you have fellowship with him, you will not walk in darkness. Your fellowship will determine how you walk. And fellowship is seeing and hearing. So what you see and hear will determine how you walk. What you do. Because it says, we will not and walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. So what you see and hear will determine the kind of life you live and the actions you take, the choices you make. So what you see and you hear is so important. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So important. So why do you have people? You have they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and his affections. They are still struggling with this thing. It's what they are seeing and hearing. You keep listening to people that are struggling, that tell you limitations, you must sin. Nobody holy pass. At times it can be something as innocent as a comedy skit. I said the Bible says, there are many voices that have gone into the world. And no voice without even a joke. Even a comedy. Are you in this place? None. And Satan doesn't come wearing a red cap. He uses words. Just like God uses words. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're scrolling through social media. No. All right. Thank you. And you were not happy that day. But as you're scrolling in, you see a message. And really talks to you. All of a sudden, now you're excited. What just happened? Words. Are you in this place? God showed up with his words and changed your mood. If God does it, Satan does it too. Are you in this place? The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom to devour. He says, that means be sober, meaning that you can lose guard. You can say it's just a joke. It's just a comedy skit. But it's filled with things that are antithetical to God's word. Are you in this place?
Yes.
It's filled with unbelief, impossibilities. It's filled with it. You don't know. Satan has gotten entrance because he's always walking. Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you something. Look at Jesus and his life. See the kind of challenges he faced. And notice Satan's strategies. When he was born, Herod wanted to kill him. That was a present danger. Are you in this place? If he had killed him, he would have lost his purpose. Remember I told you about Revelations? How that the woman was about to give birth and Satan was there to consume the child? All right, so Herod wanted to kill Jesus. All right? But he did not succeed. In Mark 4, while they're in that boat, the waves, they were about to sink. They were even sinking. The water was entering into the boat. Are you in this place? That was one way to kill him. All right, so yeah, this man has a purpose and Satan's plan is kill him. John 8, John 10, they picked up stones to stone him. Luke 4, they nearly pushed him off the cliff. All of that, kill him. Okay, it's not working. There's another strategy. Persuade him to go another way. So look at Satan in the wilderness while he's fasting and praying. He's done. He says, all right, you know what? He shows him the kingdoms of the world and the glory of it. I said, all right, just bow down and it's be yours. No more killing now. Just worship. In John 6, you have the people of Bethsaida come to meet him and wanted to make him king by force. That's what the Bible says. Now, if he's that king, he will not fulfill his purpose. It is still Satan, but different ways. First one looks dangerous. The other one is appealing. Are you in this place? But still Satan. So he brings words to distract you. So you can say, oh, it's just a funny comedy skit. But what you fellowship with would go a long way in the kind of life you live. If Satan wants to influence the kind of life you live, he has to seeing and hearing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And then it comes in a way that you might not notice. But remember something. Every voice is not without signification, meaning that every voice means something. Every word means something. The word is a seed. Is a seed. Means something. Go to Proverbs 4, verse 20. And that's why Jesus said, take heed what you hear. That's what he said. He's the one that told us, the Prince of Peace was coming and has nothing in me. Now he tells you, take heed what you hear. Always listen. This is the difference. If you know this is actually the difference between walking in righteousness and unrighteousness, you take it seriously. You will not play with it. Take it what you hear. What you see. Except you're not serious about living a righteous life, which, okay, you can do whatever you like. But if you really want to change, because there are many people like that, you want that consistent life of righteousness, what you see and hear is so important. You can't be watching movies with fornication disguised as romance, and you're surprised that at times I just lost. What is the surprise there? See what you're consuming. Are you in this place?
Yes, sir.
See what you're seeing and hearing. Of course, that's the life you will live. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Can be. You can be listening to music that is just filled with fornication, adultery. But it sounds like love, and you're surprised that you have issues like this. It's like the joke is on you. Why are you surprised? That's what you're listening to. And that's why you see, and I know as a Christian, you have this challenge. That's part of the challenge. You can't tell a boss, and they're playing a song that you did not ask for. Are you in this place? But every word is a seed. So you have to, at least the ones you can control, control. Don't say, I did not ask for the song, so it will not affect me. Huh? Until you hear it 7 times from your neighbor, and all of a sudden you know the next lyric. It's like, ah, God forbid, what's this? Why did you hear the next lyric? Because what you see and what you hear, your seeing, your eyes and your ears are inlets into your spirit. And it's in the word. I'm not just saying something that sounds nice. Proverbs 4 verse 20. It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Many people can be saying many things. It says, but incline your ear to what me I'm saying. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 21. Let them not depart from your eyes. Are you in this place? So it talks about your ears. Incline your ear to what's in them, is hear it. Then let them not depart from your eyes. Keep it in front of you. He says, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Question, how does it enter your heart? By hearing it and seeing it. That's how it enters your spirit. If it says keep it, does it mean take the word and then do surgical operation and put it in your heart? No. Your eyes, yes. What you hear, what you see, enter your spirit and influence your life. So it says, instead of hearing many things, incline your ear to his words. If you just do this small change, right? You guard. So if it is true, I must be very careful about the things that I see. People should not just send me useless things on WhatsApp and say, watch this. Watch nothing. You have to ask, what am I watching, please? Do you know it's your life? Someone says, but I want to be polite. Polite about what? It's your life. Do you understand? It's your life. It's your eyes. You can choose to see or not see. Don't say, I don't want to offend them. You don't want to offend them, but you want to offend yourself and Jesus? No. So now you have to be careful because you see, it's so automatic. But the issue is some people are focusing on the results. Do you understand? Like, why am I living this life? What am I struggling with sin? All of that. No. Focus on the source. It's what you're listening to and what you're seeing. By the time you change that, are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You will change the life you live. It's like a switch and a light. If we want to put off the light, do we break the light bulb? Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Do we break the light bulb? Of course not. You go and press the switch. What you see and hear is that switch. If you change it, what we see with the light will change. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
So you take yourself. There are places you go to and all they say is nonsense. Yourself, you know. And there are people that say that, right now, I just don't want to think. Let me just go and listen to what they are saying. You know it's nonsense. You think you are just spending time. No. You are making investments into your spirit. And when it matters, that investment might show. It might not be a good one. Are you in this place? Yeah. You want to make the right investments with the word of God. So when it matters, only the word of God that will come out of you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So what you fellowship with is so important. What you see and hear is so important. You want to stop this life of today I did something wrong, but God loves me. It's true. But you want to move a bit higher. To now your focus is on how much of God's word you can meditate on. Do you understand? Do you know there are so many books in the Bible? Have you meditated on all of it? See important things. Yet, one useless lust is disturbing you. It has to stop. Are you in this place? There's a higher life. So you change what you see and what you hear. You don't have to be everywhere looking at everything. You're not this devil. It's the devil that goes up and down. When God met him, or he met God in the book of Job, he said, where have you been? He said, I've been everywhere. The Bible says he goes up and down looking for who to devour. Are you the devil? No. Stay where God put you. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You don't have to see everything. You don't have to hear. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to. In Jesus, in rebuking a church, he was praising some. He said, some have not known the depths of Satan. That thing touched me. The Bible talks about the deep things of God. Now he says there's the depths of Satan. And the Bible says, you know, the Spirit of God reveals to us deep things of God, which things we speak. So the deep things of God is spoken. The depths of Satan is spoken too. People that every bad slang, they know. But they're speaking in tongues. Amazing. Then you want to find out what's happening in the world of, you know, the worldly. They know. They say, if we don't know this, how can we reach them? What a useless thought. No, there are people like that. They say, if you don't join them and dance like them, how can you reach them? Just confess. Confess that you like worldly things. He says, Jesus did no sin. With that mindset, would have said, Jesus should have seen so that he can understand what sinners feel like. Why didn't? Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Besides, if I really want my life to change, and you're coming to offer me that change, and you're just like me, I'll not listen to you.
Yes.
The blind cannot lead the blind.
Yes.
Are you in this place?
Yes.
You must show me you know road first before I leave my life and follow you. So this idea that you have to be like them so that you're not chasing them away is from the devil. Jesus was different. Are you in this place?
Yes.
Someone says, but Jesus stayed with unbelievers. You know, people that don't know God's word, they will just say whatever they see by mistake. He said, he stays with, you know, the publicans. Okay, let me tell you, because I know. It was Matthew. He had become a disciple. And the Bible says he held a feast for him in his house. And other publicans came. And the Bible says, and they followed him. Are you in this place? Their lives changed. Another one, Luke 15. Pharisees were complaining. Why is my fellowship with sinners? That's why he talked about the parable of the prodigal son. Because they had come home. So it's not he fellowship with sinners and they were all drinking beer. No. Are you in this place? When he met them, they changed. When he met them, they changed. Why? Because they could change into who he was. There was something different he was offering. But if you go and you're just like them, what are they changing to? You are the one changing to be like them. Meaning that maybe they should be the one preaching to you. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
So there are people that they know all the wrong things in society. At times you hear, it's thank you that you're innocent. Bible says to the pure, all things are pure. Normal language. You hear, this is great. They are laughing at you. Because you don't understand the depths of Satan. Not you. God, what you see and what you hear. Are you in this place? Someone says, but you're not matured. You know, as you're matured, you should know all these bad things. Matured into hell. You look at the person talking, you that you're matured. What is in your life that is admirable? So you want to live that life that is true. You have to really, really, all right, focus. Be very, very covetous about what you see. And what you see how simple it is. See how simple it is. But at times in June, it could be very hard because you're used to seeing everything they send you. But you have to really, really be covetous with it. So let's just go somewhere. For what? Ask questions. It's your life. Are you in this place? It's your life. And at times, these things can be disguised as wisdom from God. They say, you know, everybody fails at some point. But it is God's mercy that holds us up. Listen to what I just said. They say something that is against God's word, but they use God to cover it up. Everybody sins. If not for God's grace, where would we be? When they say, if not for God's grace, where would we be? They're talking about that you would sin. They are expecting you to sin. They say, when you sin. You can be listening. You can read that. When you sin, God is quick to forgive you. Nice message. But why when you sin? When means it's compulsory. Are you in this place?
Yes,
John in 1 John 2 verse 1 says, this is right unto you that you sin not. Are you in this place?
Yes,
when is compulsory? Now when you receive that word, you're fellowship with it, you're seeing it, you've heard it. In your life, now is when you sin. Every time when you sin. Every time when you sin. You even sing the song that you heard it from. It's your experience. And that's why yesterday I said, only the word of God should be good enough for you. And when you know God's word, you can judge. Is this God talking or Satan? You can judge. For example, it says, those that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of the lust. You can hear someone say things like, you know, the flesh is still alive. Our spirit has been changed, but the flesh is still alive and we are still struggling with it, but God is helping us. Sounds like a nice Christian thing to say. But if you accept that, that's the life you live. The flesh will still be alive. But if you accept what God says, that is the life you would live. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And God so wants to influence your life. Let me tell you God's original plan. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You can find God's original plan in the book of Genesis. And then you can also notice his plan in the way he talked to the children of Israel. Are you in this place?
Yes,
please pay attention to me. All right? So look at Genesis, for example. Genesis. When God made Adam and put him on the earth, I've said this before, but it's good to hear it again. When he made Adam and put him on the earth, if Satan never showed his ugly head, are you in this place? Who taught Adam how to talk? Who? Everything the man learned, he learned from God. So the only thing he was introduced to were the words of God. That's the only thing. Meaning that if Satan never showed up, the only communication anybody would have on the earth that God made would be the word of God. That's why when he was naked and he hid, first question, who told you? That's what God asked him. Who told you? Who are you listening to? Because you should be listening to me. Are you in this place? But of course, you know what happened. Then you go to the children of Israel. Now, God has such a dream. He wants a people for himself. Are you in this place? He wants a people for himself. And so, he says, all right, you know, you guys, I love Abraham, Jacob. Now you're his people. You're going to be my people. And he begins to teach them that best life. Go to Deuteronomy 6. 6 verse 4. All right. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That's what he wanted. People to love him. Wow. Verse 6. It says, and these words which I commanded this day shall be in thine heart. Okay. If you're listening, you're wondering how. Go back to verse 6, please. You'll be wondering how. This is a very strange thing. It says, these words which I command you. So you question, how do you put it? How do I put it in my heart? Right? Because it says, these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. So how? And that's why it has a colon there. He's going to tell them how. Verse 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Meaning that as a child is growing up, the only thing you should hear is the word. So what is God trying to influence? He's trying to, from that new generation, the only thing they see and hear is the word. So that would be their experience. All right. It says, and shall talk of them when thou sittest down in thine house. Not about the problems in the economy. Not about the wickedness or so and so. God's idea was when they met in the house and sat down, they are talking about the word. I said, if Adam never sinned, that would have been the experience. That's why God is not remiss when he says maintain on the word day and night. Why? 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 Because when he made man, man could actually function only on God's word day and night. Are you in this place? He says, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house. When you go and visit someone now. That's the strategy. Announce to them. You know, God said, when I sit down in people's house, in my house, I should talk about the word of God. It will help you so they don't start a conversation that you cannot stop. Are you in this place? I talk about the word of God. He says, and when you walk it by the way, when you're walking on the road. This is God capturing their existence. He's saying, teach your child. When you sit down, talk the word. When you're walking on the road, that means you're gisting, talk the word. Do you remember when Jesus resurrected in Luke 24? The Bible says you had two disciples going to the city of Emmaus, and Jesus walked with them on the word. Pay attention to this. And he said, what are you guys talking about that you're so sad? I like Jesus so much. It's not that I too know. He didn't come and say, I know what you're talking about. No. So what are you guys talking about that you're so sad? And he said, are you the only person in Jerusalem? I've not heard what has happened. He said, what? It was him. He was the news. But he says, what? And he said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, we thought he was the one that would deliver us from the Romans, but then these evil Jews, they killed him. And then he told them, they are walking on the road. They are going somewhere. Are you in this place? He said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have written. The Bible says, from there, he started talking to them about the scriptures. You see how Jesus was a representation of the word of God. He didn't say, okay, let us sit down first. Let us go somewhere safe, then I'll talk to you. No. As they are going, he's talking to them about the scriptures. Praise the Lord. He says, and when you lie down, talk the word. And when you rise up, talk the word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This is the life he wanted them to live. But you know the children of Israel and how they did. But now he brings the word to you. What you see and hear is so important. Who you fellowship with. And that's why what John said is so remarkable. He didn't say our fellowship is with the governors. No. He didn't say our fellowship is the presidents, the kings. No. He said, we're fellowship with someone higher. We are hearing and listening, the Father and his Son, Jesus. Those are the two people that got John's attention. And he says, we are telling you this thing now, what we heard, so you too will fellowship with us. Every time you go to the word and you're looking and you're listening, you're fellowshipping. Now, what you see and hear goes a long way in influencing the kind of life you live. So, but you don't say, I'm not going to see and hear anything again. No, you have to be seeing and hearing something else. So you don't see and hear worldliness. You see and hear the word of God. Are you in this place? You see and hear the word of God. And if it's true that you came from heaven, 1 John 4 verse 4, go there. Hallelujah. 1 John 4, verse 4. It says, you are of God, little children. You accept it. I am of God. You know what that means? It doesn't mean God is for you or God is on your side. No, it means you came from God, little children. Do you understand? You came out of him. Okay? So it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is in you than in the world. But what I want to focus on is the fact that you are of God. You came from God. All right? In John 8, verse 42, let's go there. Let's hear what Jesus said. John 8, verse 42. He says, if God is your father, you will love me. I proceeded forth and came from God. Did I come out of myself, but he sent me. In John 13, verse 3, go there. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had given unto him his hand and that he was come from God and went to God. Go to John 8, verse 23. It says, and he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. So Jesus had this consciousness that he was from God. Are you in this place? All right. So you came from God. All right. Jesus was from God. And then he told us he was going to send the Holy Ghost who is from God. So you have to find out who those that are from God behaved so that you too, you behave that way. Are you in this place? All right. Now, we know Jesus came from God. But let's start with the Holy Ghost. All right. He said the Holy Ghost is the spirit that proceeds from the Father. He came from God. How does he behave? Let me show you. Go to John 16, verse 13. We looked at that yesterday. I just mentioned it in passing, but it says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, You see, I like the scripture of the Spirit. First, the Spirit has, he can talk. Not just that. It's as though, if he wanted to, he can speak of himself. So he has will. Everything God made, and everyone from God, has a choice. Always remember that. All right? John 10, 7 to 8. Jesus said, one of the reasons God loved him was because he was laying down his life of his own will. Meaning he had a choice not to. So here it says the Holy Ghost can talk. Not just that. He says he shall not speak of himself. Meaning that he has the option to say whatever he likes. But whatsoever he shall hear, so he hears. Are you in this place? Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show it is to come. So here is a spirit from heaven who doesn't just talk anyhow. Are you in this place? Who is listening for what to say? Are you seeing that? If you came from God, you are of God, then you must be like this too. You don't just talk anyhow. You listen and say what God is telling you to say. You listen and say only the word of God, meaning you fellowship. And then you live out that life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
yeah. And I said, start from verse 12. Verse 12. Okay, go to 14, sorry. 13, 14. He says, he shall glorify me. I talked about that yesterday. You know, and let me just land on it a bit. You have to ask God how he wants to be worshipped. You don't worship him the way you like. Just like you have to ask him how he wants to be glorified. You don't glorify him how you like. You say, I've glorified God now. No. You have to ask him. Notice when he told the children of Israel about the sacrifice they should offer. He was very specific on what he wanted. Are you in this place? You don't just give God anything you like. He was very specific on what he wanted. He said, doves, lamb, goat, cow. Since you have horse, change it to money. Don't bring horse near me. Don't bring donkeys. A horse, I think, is more expensive than a goat. Are you in this place? A horse is more expensive than a goat. But money means nothing to God. He made all things. You give him what he asks for. Remember the story of David bringing the ark into Jerusalem? And how that, you know, instead of letting the ark be carried by the priests, because that is what God said, he bought new carts. Spent money to carry God's ark, but God was angry. My point is, you don't worship God the way you like. If you like, cry from now to tomorrow and say, I spent time. Doesn't mean anything to God, though. Listen, it doesn't mean anything to God. God wants what he wants. We learned about this temple Solomon built. As great as it was, maybe they stopped doing the work, he destroyed it. He didn't care about their efforts. Are you in this place? So God doesn't care about the effort you put. Glorify him the way he wants. Are you in this place? All right. Now, Jesus is telling us how he wants to be glorified, how you are actually glorifying him. He said, the Holy Ghost, he shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That's the glory he's looking for. When you take from him and show others, all you're showing others is him. That's how you glorify God. Are you seeing it? All you're showing others is God. That's how you do it. You don't do what you like and say, now God is glorified. Are you God? He says, he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Remember, he was telling them he will show you things to come. He says, he shall not speak of himself. What he shall hear, that shall he speak. So the Holy Ghost gives us, he brings to remembrance what Jesus has said. Now, if you want to glorify God, you see, I said your fellowship goes a long way in determining the kind of life you live. If you live a life where you glorify God, it means that you must be hearing from God so you give people what God is saying. Praise the Lord. If you're hearing from something else, you give people something else. And that doesn't bring glory to God. And let me tell you something. You know that people that like to talk, they like hearing themselves talk. So someone has gone for advice and you advise for 2 hours and now you're tired. Right? Because after your advice, the person was very happy. You were happy. You people just even laughed. But you could have said absolute nonsense throughout if it was not the word of God. Are you in this place? People laughing at what you say doesn't mean you're doing the right thing. Always remember that. That's why you should know God's word enough so you can always vet yourself. And isn't it amazing? You can actually vet yourself. Look at Moses. What was God's word to him? Speak to the rock. Others did not hear it. He heard it with Aaron. He hit the rock instead. You know what happened? Water came out. Not just that, the people were happy. If Moses had said, the people are happy, that means God is pleased with me, he would have been wrong. Because God doesn't care whether people are happy or not. What matters to him the most is his word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't sleep. Come on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you want to glorify God. The Holy Spirit, the one that came from God, and you are of God, glorify him. You didn't just talk anyhow. But here's the thing. To ensure you're not just talking anyhow, it means you should not be just seeing anyhow. Are you seeing it? It means you not just be seen anyhow. Because it's what you see, you will say. Yes. It's true. I told you guys yesterday, you can see something on social media and go and tell your friends. Something that normally you will not tell them. But you saw it and said, can you imagine what's going on Twitter right now? See what is trending, you know? It is what you saw that you are sharing. So if you're not sharing God's word, it means you're not seeing God's word. Because naturally it's what that you talk about. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we look at the Holy Ghost. Look at Jesus. Go to John 7 verse 18. He says, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. Oh, hope I'm not too fast. He says, he that speaketh of himself. You know, you read this, you're just convicted. You start thinking all the time that you have just said what you like because it sounded smart. Are you in this place? All the time that someone gives you advice, okay, this thing that you have said now, according to Google, according to Napoleon, according to great men, then you see this and you just think, hey, all the life I've been living. But see, the good thing is that it comes to you so you can adjust and become better. He says, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. And it's true. When you have said that thing that is wise, according to your own mind, you are happy. Because the person now thinks that you to your wise. Praise the Lord. It's the only one God can really expose you the way that you might be too embarrassed to expose yourself. Praise the Lord. He says, if you speak of yourself, you ignore God's word. It's your own glory you're looking for. You're looking for your own praise. In fact, won't you love it? Won't you love it? If you give someone an advice, all right, in church, and then one day the person comes and gives a testimony and mentions your name. There's even brother so-and-so that even advised me. When you're there, oh my. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. So you just look at Jesus, he's so blunt, right? Like, doesn't even care about our feelings. He says, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him. The same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Because this is true, he says something. Go to John chapter 8, verse 26. Now let's do 28 and then we'll go to 50. Do 26. I like 26 too. He says, I have many things to say unto judge of you. This is Jesus talking. He says, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I've heard of him. Are you seeing the connection? I told you, the Holy Ghost has a choice. He can say whatever he likes. Jesus too has a choice. He says, I have many things to say and to I have. They wanted to kill him. In fact, they still tried to kill him in this chapter. So he says, if it's left to me, I have many things to say to you. Remember we learned yesterday, I told the disciples, from henceforth, I will not talk to you. So you see, I love it. Because your life is your own. You can choose to talk and not to talk. So God says, say something now. Say something. Say no. Jesus said, let your communication be yes and no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. Are you in this place? All right. He says, I have many things to see and to judge of you. That means I have judgment to make. You know, attention says, what's the situation of the country? You have many things to judge. There are people right now that knows how Nigeria should be run. And if you let them, they will tell you from the local government to this. They have many things to say. But even though he had many things to say, he was not seeking his own glory. He said, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. He wasn't. He wasn't. He says, I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. I have many things to share to you, but it's only what God tells me I will say. What discipline? What humility? Remember the Bible says, we read it, that the one that doesn't speak the wholesome words of Jesus is proud. Doesn't know anything. What humility? Go to 28. It says, then Jesus chose on them. The last part where I want to go. It says, I do nothing of myself. Hey, this is amazing. It says, I do nothing of myself. I don't just live my life anyhow. We know he came from God. The Bible says you are of God. You have the same life. This is the kind of life you should live. It says, I do nothing of myself. But as my Father had taught me, I speak these things. Meaning there are many things I want to say. But if it's of myself, I won't do it. I only say what God teaches me. No wonder he shines so bright as light. No wonder. He was just shining every time. Because there was this constraint. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Go to verse 50. We'll end there and then we'll pray. He says, I seek not my own glory. Are you seeing it now? That's why he didn't speak of himself. He says, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Remember, he said, I have many things to say and to judge of you. But there is one that judges. So I will not seek my own glory. I will not speak of myself. But all of this will not be possible if you're just seeing and hearing anything anyhow. You can only speak the word when you spend time seeing and hearing the word. Lastly, 1 John 1 verse 7. He says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship. Are you seeing it? What's walking in the light? Remember, the Bible says the word of God is the true light. So if we walk in the word, as he is in the word, there is fellowship. That means walk means live, right? If you remain in the word, because he is in the word. That means if you only see and hear the word, because he is in the word, you have fellowship. And not just as it says, the blood of Jesus cleansed us from all sin. This is amazing. Meaning the issue of sin dealt with if you remain in the word.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
From all sin. So you want to shine as light because you are light. But you could have things like this that distract you. You're still struggling with sin. You're still struggling with that. You're still struggling with that. All right, change what you're listening to. That's all. Can you imagine? If you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, get born again. If you're a Christian, all you have to change is what you're listening to. And what you are seeing. No wonder the first instruction he gives us. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Say, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold. See differently. Are you seeing it? See differently. Things are new. See differently. And live that life. Praise the Lord. Behold. See that you have crucified the flesh. And accept it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He says, behold things and you see. You are no longer darkness. You are now light. And accept it. See it. But if you keep looking at people telling you we are all the same, humans have feelings and all of that, that is what you live, but not you. Say, I'm the light of the world. Say, I'm shining every day. Say, I'm moving from glory to glory. While you're there, just go ahead and thank God for what you've learned.